Welcome back to that 590 show. Joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line is St. Louis's favorite New Yorker. You can follow him on Twitter at Claudio_GSN. You can hear him on the Nothing But Knicks podcast. Andrew Claudio, how are you, my friend?
I'm good. When I first dove into this world of sports broadcasting and knew one day I'd be St. Louis's favorite New Yorker, that's what everybody strives to be.
That's what everybody in New York strives to be, but you are it, my friend. You won it. Congratulations. Although I need to pass on my condolences. I'm sorry you lost your job as Mr. Med. I apologize.
Oh, you know, in certain situations, you have to develop self-control. I wish the best of luck to my replacement. The Philly Fanatic is going to be taking over to the green thing in Boston. He's going to try out for it as well. So,
well, the important thing is that maybe you've learned something in all this, right?
Yeah. The New York Mets took a page out of the New York Knicks and decided, hey, you know what's fun? Let's terrorize our fans off the field as well.
Do you think we learned anything last night by watching game one of the NBA Finals? Is it just game one? And last year, every single one, whoever won, was always a blowout. So this blowout last night didn't mean anything, or was there something deeper last night?
Man, I tried so hard not to overreact. And I hate that guy that comes steaming with the hot takes after game ones and the narrative around LeBron throughout the playoffs is that he's better than Michael now because of how great he's doing against the diminished Eastern Conference. And I don't like that guy. Yet, what I'll say we learned last night is that this series is over. I hate to say it, but the series is over. And it's not because I doubt LeBron James. It's not because I doubt the Cavs. It's not because of how poorly they played last night. Because that's the thing. They had nobody except LeBron James really show up. And I don't even know if, like, they can show up at all better in game two, and it'll help. The Warriors are really good. Harrison Barnes was upgraded to LeBron James. Steph Curry is healthy now. Andre Iguodala is healthy now. They have a more athletic JaVale McGee as their backup center. They have so many pieces that are clicking right now, and barring any major injury, this series is over. And I say Warriors in five. That might have been generous.
You think it could be a sweep?
I think the Warriors are out on a mission. And we saw last year how they went for that 73 wins and how much of energy they exerted. And Draymond and Steph really were the guys that pushed that and tried to make sure that happened. And they were exhausted for the playoffs. And so this year, they didn't really go for anything. And yet they still won 67 wins. And now they're trying with that same energy to go faux, especially since it's the Cavaliers and how much bad blood is there. There's just so much talent, and now there's so much motivation to try and do it. Plus, if you win in four, you win in Cleveland, where you get to celebrate on the Cavs' home floor.
A lot of the Cleveland apologists are saying, well, look at Tristan Thompson. He had no points. He's not going to be that bad again. And I'm like, and I can make the argument that Draymond Green had 9. He's probably not going to be that bad again. And Klay Thompson had 6. He's probably not going to be that bad again. I mean, Kevin Durant, he basically just put the entire Cavaliers team over his knee last night and spanked them good. I mean, he had a rebound, and he took it straight down the middle of the court and dunked it, and everybody just stood there and watched.
Well, I'll go even further with Kevin Durant. Like, his first 16 points, 12 of them came off of dunks, which is, it just can't happen. Like, we know the Warriors is a great jump shooting team, and they had 40 points in the paint midway through the third quarter. The Cavs had zero answer for just down the down low presence that the Warriors were developing. And then Steph Curry remembered, oh yeah, I can shoot threes, and I'm really one of the greatest shooters of all time. I mean, you can even go Klay Thompson, like you said, isn't going to be that bad. The thing about the last night, the Warriors had two guys scoring double figures. It was just Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. And yet, they still won by over 20 points on a night where LeBron goes for 28, 15, and 7, and Kevin Love gets 20 rebounds. That's the night that you could have stole one against Warriors. And Tristan Thompson didn't show up. So if he scores 6 points in game two, that means they lose by 16 instead.
A lot of people during the Eastern Conference Finals were pointing out about how if you're Boston and you're watching the way that Cleveland just steamrolled over you, you're like, wow, we're not even close. But if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, and if you're LeBron James more specifically, you watched that game last night, you're going to be thinking, wow, you know what? We're not even close. And if you're LeBron, you go to Dan Gilbert and you could be like, hey, you know what? I think we need to make this move and this move, and we need to add this person and this person and this person, and we're going to need to expand the payroll. They're already paying the luxury tax. I think he paid like $50 million in the luxury tax last year. Dan Gilbert could be like, yeah, you know what? I understand this is LeBron's legacy. He's trying to run down Michael Jordan. Dan Gilbert doesn't have that pressure. Dan Gilbert's won his title. So I think in Dan Gilbert's mind, he's like, you know what? Mission accomplished. I've done my thing. My franchise, a non-liquid asset, has increased in value. I'm not going to spend more of a liquid asset in cash just for you to chase down Michael Jordan. Can you see that happening?
I don't even know what the move would be that LeBron would demand. That's the thing. You're not going to replace Kyrie.
You tweeted it out that maybe Melo and Wade join him in Cleveland. I'm not sure that's the right move because Melo and Wade are both old and unathletic at this point in their careers, and they looked old and unathletic enough last night.
Well, that idea I had would be Melo and Wade would join this assembled crew that they have. It wouldn't be replacing Kevin Love. It wouldn't be replacing... It would be like matching up the contract. So the idea I had, if you do a three-team deal where you get a team to give the Knicks picks, and then you take on another, like the Knicks would then give Melo to the Cavs, and the Cavs would give Shumpert and Derek Williams, and I hate to break up that successful podcast, but Richard Jefferson or Channing Frye to another team that's just looking to take on salary because they're expiring contracts, and then they get Carmelo, and then Dwayne Wade can opt out and be a free agent and sign to the veterans minimum or a more manageable contract for the salary cap wise. Add them as more role players to this team. You know, you upgrade J.R. Smith to Dwayne Wade, and yeah, Dwayne Wade in short spurts can be good. Carmelo Anthony, say what you want, he fits what the Cavs would want to do with just that an instant offense, which is what you would need against the Warriors. So, yeah, it's probably still not enough, but when you have LeBron, maybe you're close enough. The move that really would only dethrone the Warriors right now, because I keep going back to game one and how great that Spurs team looked against the Warriors, is if they added a point guard like CP3.
Yeah.
Because then you have such a defensive presence on the court with Chris Paul, Danny Green, and LaMarcus Aldridge. That right there might be the only chance for the Warriors to be dethroned. But as far as the Cavs are concerned, I mean, I was just, you know, shooting, you know what I'm saying?
Like, sure.
I was trying to spitball out there, see if there was even an option.
But I'm hearing that Chris Paul is giving some serious consideration to joining San Antonio, because right now there are Obi-Wan. There are only hope, I think, because if Golden State, if they run right over this Cleveland Cavaliers team, and this is what everybody was waiting for, was this, you know, this rubber match in this trilogy of finals, and if they run right over Cleveland the next year for the NBA season, honestly, what's the point of watching if Golden State is going to run over everybody?
Yeah, in the short term, this is bad for the NBA, and I don't want to, again, overreact to it, but in the short term, yeah, it makes all these seasons irrelevant. And look, it's why I'm never going to get upset with anybody that has a hot Kevin Durant take that he's soft for going to Golden State. He completely one-sided the league. This wasn't LeBron going to Miami and kind of restarting a team. That's the thing I respect about LeBron's decision to go to Miami, is they clear out their entire roster to be able to afford Dwayne Wade.
Absolutely.
Chris Bosh.
A lot of people don't know that they had one player under contract when they made that move.
Yeah, they took a little less money to assign Haslam. Like, you remember that roster that the the first roster that they had when it was just the big three and everybody else, like Carlos Arroyo, Mike Bibby, Zdrudas Ilgauskas, Joel Anthony was their starting center, and they had nothing developed as far as an actual team. And then they add Shane Battier and Mario Chalmers and Ray Allen and guys that would become important to that championship team. With the Warriors, they were a 73-9 team, and all they did was upgrade Harrison Barnes for Kevin Durant.
Especially when, like,
people who say, like, oh, it was going to be Warriors against the Cavs anyway. We're just going to forget that the Oklahoma City Thunder took them to 7 games last year. Like I really thought if Durant stayed in OKC, I would have made them the favorite. What I thought they needed was a wing two guard that was an upgrade over everything they'd have for over the years. And they got Oladipo at the draft. So I thought, you know what, if Kevin Durant goes back to OKC, I'm picking them to be my favorite. I love what they have in Steven Adams. I think he showed that he can be a weapon during the season. And instead, Durant went to, and look, I don't criticize the move as much, because if I had the chance to make my life a whole lot easier at my job, I do it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he kind of tilted the league to unwatchable when it comes to the playoffs, and we might not have a chance for them to be dethroned for a while.
Andrew Claudio, I may be in New York the last weekend of June. That's when the Big Three League, they have their inaugural season. I may be in New York that weekend. I'll definitely hit you up if I am.
Absolutely, man. Hit me up.
All right, buddy.
Thanks for having me on, Matt.
Have a great weekend.
You too, bud.
That is Andrew Claudio from Gotham SN. You can follow him on Twitter at Claudio_SN. KFNS is hosting a live version of the number one professional wrestling podcast in the world, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, the former right-hand man to WWE CEO Vince McMahon. The show will take place at South Broadway Athletic Club from 2 to 4 p.m. before WWE's Money in the Bank at Scott Trade Center on June 18th. VIP and general admission tickets are available at notarib.com. It is now time to head to that 590 Show's Sports Update Desk and Matt Rocchio.
Earlier today, the Cubs took the Cardinals down 3-2 in Game 1 of their 3-game series in Chicago this weekend. The big heartbreaker had to be the fact that the Cubs' game-winning run put in by Jason Hayward's sack fly that sent in Rizzo in the bottom of the 8th. Cardinals defense also a little suspect. 0 errors on the box score, but that's hiding 2 crucial misplays in the corners by Piscotty and Sierra when it came to fly balls, letting it touch the ground. Cubs and Cardinals back in action tomorrow afternoon for another 1:20 p.m. start. Mike Leake takes on the lefty John Lester, while in Game 3 on Sunday, Michael Wacha will take on the righty Kyle Hendricks. The Blues announced team alum Barrett Jackman is rejoining the organization as the team's new developmental coach. And on the diamond right now, the Orioles are up over the Red Sox 2-1 in the bottom of the third. The Blue Jays have jumped out to a 3-0 lead over the Yankees, also in the top of the third. Moving into the top of the fourth, the Braves leading the Reds 1-0, and also in the top of the third, the Mets leading the Pirates 2-1. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Update.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, we're going to be joined by Kevin Brackett, film critic for RealSpoilers.com. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.